conclusion to our parish mission. We started last Sunday and Palm Sunday. So this is now the eighth day. And after the sermon, there will be a blessing with the crucifix taken from the main altar, to which is attached a plenary indulgence to those who are able to attend the mission. Even if you're able to only attend one day, then you will receive the grace to be able to get a plenary indulgence attached to making a mission, which is similar to that, into making a retreat. So we all continue our consideration. We left our Lord Jesus Christ on Good Friday. First, a reading from the Epistle for the Vigil Mass of Easter. Having died on the cross on Good Friday, his apostles are in a state of despair. They do not believe that he will rise again. They have lost their God. They have lost the purpose of their lives. We cannot compare the sorrow of the apostles to the sorrow of any man who has ever experienced loss. We may have experienced great loss in our own lives. Perhaps even multiple great losses, but we will not understand the sorrow of those apostles on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning. They did not only lose a loved one, they lost God. They did not lose someone that was important to them, they lost the reason of their life. For 3.5 years, they had no plans. It was only to stay next to Him. Sometimes it wasn't fun to be next to Christ, as he was being stoned to death and had to escape from their midst, as he had forgotten to eat for several days. Sometimes they stayed in the houses of the rich. Sometimes they slept on the side of the road. Sometimes they spent the night in prayer on the side of a mountain. Sometimes they were surrounded by a crowd without a break. But they didn't really care where they were. They did learn one truth, though they weren't fully aware of it until this time. There is only one thing that matters, and that's being next to Jesus Christ. It was the only purpose of their lives. Now he is gone. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, the Pharisee, have laid him into the tomb. 120 soldiers, says Flavius Josephus, of the greatest army the world has ever known, are set to guard that tomb. The seal of the high priest is placed upon it. No one may draw near. The holy women are in a state of despair. Their purpose is gone as well. The sorrow of the apostles and the sorrow of the holy women cannot be described or understood by us. We cannot experience the depth of sorrow that they have experienced. But Christ said to them, "You shall be sorrowful, but the world shall rejoice." And so there is great sorrow. And then there is this night. Ic nox est, qui spoliavit Egyptios et ditavit Hebreos. Some of the beautiful words of the Exultet, singing to the Paschal candle. This is the night in which the Egyptians have been despoiled. It is the night that the Hebrews have been enriched. O charite necessarium ade peccatum. O most certainly necessary sin of Adam, which brought such a wonderful Redeemer. O felix culpa, O happy fault, O happy fault, O happy sin of Adam, that brought us such a great Savior. Here is the night that we rejoice in the presence of our Savior. We were at the height of suffering as Christ left Himself hanging upon the cross. It was the greatest defeat that the devil had ever been able to muster to bring Christ to death. All seemed lost. And the holy women walk with myrrh and aloes to finish the burial. It's the least they can do for a lost cause. The apostles have no purpose in life, and so they lock themselves up in the upper room. It is a sad morning. At Valdemane, as we'll say later on in the liturgy today, towards the end of the Mass, when the office of Lauds and the Mass will come together as the same thing. At Valdemane. And it was exceedingly morning. The sun had not yet risen. It was the middle of the night. And there came a light that sanctified the night. And that light is the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. His body shone forth a light, which enlightened the whole day. That light that we hold in our hands, the Paschal fire, it is the only light. And we ask that as many of you as possible receive the plenary indulgence that the Church wishes to give you today. That the light may shine inside of your hearts and never go out. We want to fill ourselves with that light. It is not the light of this world. It is the light of the next world. It is the light that creates all, and the light that is the goal and purpose of our lives. The only light that matters. When we see the candle, we look to the light, and the light is the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see divinity in every drop of His blood. We see divinity hanging upon the cross. And St. Bonaventure said, strung out upon the cross, like the harp strings strung out upon the wood. And there He will sing a new melody, a Canticum Novum. And the Exultet is the heart of this melody. Beautiful hymn sung this morning for 13 minutes before the Paschal candle, in which the heart of the Church comes out. The angels rejoice. The night rejoices. And when the night rejoices and the angels rejoice, and we look at Adam and we say, thank you, Adam. Thank you for the original sin. For perhaps if you did not commit that sin, we would not have seen a cross. We would not be able to lay our eyes upon the divine love. We would say that God loves us, but we would not know what it means. We do not know its depth. We do not have any understanding of what divine love is all about. But now we know. How can we ever be sorrowful again? For if night cannot cause us fear, if death cannot bring us terror, what can? Now all the work of Jesus Christ is vindicated. He was not successful in His life. He surrounded Himself by 12 apostles. One would deny Him. One would betray Him. 11 would deny Him. They would all end their days as cowards. At least that was Christ's last memory of them. But then came this morning. At Valdemane. And Christ rose from the dead. Many things to meditate on the beauty of this resurrection. But we will simply travel to two men on the way to Emmaus. Jesus Christ will first appear to his mother, and this apparition will be as heaven. The eyes of the mother will look into the eyes of the son, and there will be heaven in their eyes. There will be the perfection of love and happiness. As they experienced the greatest of sorrows on Friday, so on this morning, they will experience a joy that even in heaven we will not know. But we cannot rise to the level of love of Mary and Christ. But two disciples, two men who claim to be faithful to Jesus Christ, they find themselves leaving the city of Jerusalem this morning. They cannot stand this city. He came into the city on Palm Sunday and there was great rejoicing. They threw palms before his feet. And in 5 days, they said, "Let him be crucified, let him be crucified, let him be crucified." They spit upon him, they mocked him. And I looked upon that man who was a leper a few days ago. Now he is made clean and he mocks Christ. I saw another who was a cripple. He walked to Christ and buffeted him. I saw a man who was born dumb, and I heard him curse at our Lord Jesus Christ. The dumb man was cured by him. The lame man was able to be walked by him. The leper was cleansed by him. And they who were cleansed by him, they who were able to made to walk, they cursed him. And the very city of peace, Jerusalem, the holiest city on earth, and they condemned him to death. "We cannot stand this place. We will leave it." And so they walked to Emmaus. And as they are on their way to Emmaus, they walk heavily. Emmaus is not important to them, these two priests, two of the 72 disciples. What is important is leaving Jerusalem behind. As they are on their way to Emmaus, a stranger appears to them. "Why are you so sad? What has happened?" And they said to the stranger, "What do you mean, what has happened? Did you not hear that Jesus of Nazareth, the greatest of all the prophets of all time, came into the city? He had risen Lazarus from the dead only a week and a half ago. The people were amazed at the raising of Lazarus. They received him in joy on Palm Sunday. And then they crucified him. One of his own apostles betrayed him. The others fled, one naked. And this is the third day since he has died. And all these terrible things have happened. What do you mean, what has happened? Open your eyes. Look around you. See the evil that is in the world. See the sin. See the attacks against the church. What do you mean, what has happened?" And the stranger then spoke to them and he said, "What did he say a couple of weeks ago? Well, he said that if I be lifted up upon the cross, I will draw all things to myself. What happened 3 days ago? He was lifted upon the cross. Did he not speak about his death many times? Yes, he did. And what did he say about it? Well, he said, 'Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will build it up.'" As Jonas was in the belly of the well for 3 days, so the Son of Man shall be in the belly of the earth. What does Isaiah say of him? And the stranger began to speak to them, and to open their ears to something they had not yet heard. The divine way of looking at our sinful world. And he opened their ears. What does it say in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53? "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the world, Lord, revealed? The Messiah will be rejected. Isn't that what Isaiah says? Yes. Was he rejected? Yes. I am a worm and no man, the scorn of men. We learn in this particular passage in the recent study of the Hebrew language that when our Lord Jesus Christ said, I am a worm and no man, and according to the Hebrew, it refers to a specific kind of worm, which is called, known as the scarlet worm. And so the book of Isaiah reads, I am a scarlet worm and no man. These words spoken of the Messiah. And so some scientists went over to the Holy Land to study the scarlet worm to see if there was anything peculiar about it. And it so happens that the scarlet worm is a worm that has many thousands of legs. And that the mother scarlet worm can only lay her eggs on the side of a tree. And so the mother scarlet worm, when it is time for her to lay her eggs, she climbs up into the side of the bark of a tree. But there's a problem with this, and that is that birds like worms, and they see the worm, and they come down and they eat it. And so what the mother scarlet worm does, she climbs up onto the side of the tree. She has many legs, and she plants permanently her legs into the tree, killing herself. She bleeds to death as she penetrates her legs into the tree. While she is bleeding to death, she lays her eggs. Now, once she has died, her soft skin becomes as hard as a rock. And the birds flying by see a worm to be eaten, and they fly down and they try to peck at her, but they cannot penetrate her skin. Some of the birds will land upon the side of the tree, and with their beaks they will try to pry her off of the tree. But she is so firmly implanted that she cannot be pried off. Her eggs hatch, and the little babies come out from the bottom of the scarlet worm. After 40 years, the worm naturally falls off of the tree, and it leaves a scarlet mark where she had implanted her legs into the tree and died, hence the name the scarlet worm. I am a scarlet worm and no man. What is happening upon the cross, says St. Augustine? Look with your supernatural eyes and see what is happening. Nuptials. Mary is united to Christ. Not in the marriage bed of pleasure, but in the marriage bed of pain. They are united, the man of sorrows and the woman of sorrows, and they are going to bear children. Happy is the woman that is desolate, for she shall have more children than her that hath a husband. And there is none more desolate than Mary. So she is bearing children upon that cross. And this is the morning that the children are going to begin to be born. The disciples are exhausted. They are in the height of despair. And at the end of the day, after speaking with a stranger, he begins to walk on and they say, stay with us at this house. They cause him to stay, and it says, and they recognized him at the breaking of the bread. They recognized him at the breaking of the bread. And they ran back to Jerusalem. The city that they said they would never go to. Look at this cross and see Christ as he has risen from the dead and verify the victory of the cross. Open your eyes and see. It is not sin that is in the world that is destroying it, but it is simply the preparation for redemption. And if we ourselves turn away from sin, we need not fear the night. We need not fear death. For the suffering that our church undergoes now, the so-called unjust sufferings that sometimes hit each of our souls, these sufferings are but a preparation for a resurrection. And unless we die, we cannot live. Unless we go down to death, we cannot rise from that death. So we rejoice in the cross of Christ. For they who hang upon the cross with Christ must rise from the dead. There is no other way. They who join with him and take up their cross They are going to see victory and going to see perfect happiness and the glory of God. So we want to go to that victory. We want to be part of that victory. And so we celebrate this most beautiful of nights, the night that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and changed night into day. And by being here at this night, you recognize that there is no other hope or light for our world than Jesus Christ. There's no other hope or light for me than Him. And so we are going to do our best to stay close to Him from this day forward. We are going to be, as St. Andrew would say, fools of the cross. We are going to rejoice to grab onto the cross. We are going to see our resurrection and the little crosses that Jesus Christ sends us. And when we go back to our homes, we will no longer be sorrowful when things go south, but we shall rejoice. Remember the law that I've mentioned to you many times. Whenever you hit your finger with a thumb, when you hit your thumb with a nail, with a hammer, drop something on your foot, bang your head or your little precious toes, or experience any kind of pain, say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this gift." It's an important supernatural practice. Thank you, Lord. For it is by these things that we attain the resurrection. And he who is able to be at peace when he suffers is able to be at peace at all times. And he who can show joy in suffering is always joyful and is joyful inside of the deepest part of his heart. And so we look with supernatural eyes at the dark world in which we live, and we see the light of Christ. And as our church bleeds, as it hangs upon a cross, as the attacks against our church grow and grow and grow, we rejoice more and more and more, because we know the redemption and the resurrection is at hand. "Behold, it is even at the doors," says our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is great rejoicing for those that are of the household of the faith. And at one moment the Egyptians shall be despoiled, and the Hebrews shall be enriched. And we are the Hebrews, followers of Jesus Christ, the only thing that made the Hebrews great. When we stay close to Him, we can be enriched in His love, enriched in His cross, enriched in His resurrection. We want to be enriched. So here after the sermon, I'm going to go over to the altar and take the cross down. You'll kneel down, and I'm going to give you a blessing, a normal blessing the priest gives, in nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. The only difference is that to this blessing is attached a plenary indulgence, which means that your purgatory time is going to be taken away so that you can go straight to heaven. Not just that your sins are forgiven, as they are at any confession. So you have an opportunity for this plenary indulgence. Try to take advantage of it. And then also, the other conditions to get a plenary indulgence, to pray for the intentions of the Pope, which we do at every Mass. So we pray for the intentions of the Pope at the Mass today. That's fulfilled. To receive Holy Communion. Receive Holy Communion 7 days, 8 days before today or after. So you're going to do that. So be sure to take advantage of the graces that we want to give. Grab onto them and don't let go. Try our best to be close to the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Sacred Heart. In the close of the words of Father Urban Snyder, which he used to say in his last sermons, before he died of Alzheimer's, and so he gave the same sermon every week in the latter part of his years. And he would say in these sermons, keep your eye on heaven as the end and goal of life. And ask our Lord Jesus Christ to give you His heart with which to love His mother. For He alone knows how to love His mother well. And ask His mother to give you her heart with which to love her son. For she has the only heart with which He is pleased. And if she puts our hearts into us, that we may love Him. And if He puts His heart into us, that we may love her, then we have the union of the two hearts. And these hearts are heaven. We want heaven in our heart. And that means the sacred and the immaculate hearts must come inside of us. The sacred and immaculate hearts were most perfectly united today. They were united in infinite love and joy. And all the sorrows of the crucifixion were completely taken away and replaced by a joy that cannot be described in this life. One that we will simply adore and embrace for all eternity. Provided we stay away from sin and keep the new garments of our baptism clean. Stay close to the confessional. Stay close to the Holy Eucharist. Stay close to Mary. She is our strength. So let us stay close to Mary. Let us stay close to her Son. Let us stay close to Christ resurrected from the dead. We'll close it at that here. I'll go down and I'll give you the blessing then. And then God bless you all in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen.